SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two. We'll have Sid Fernando in a minute and slip in another one of the news items. And I actually was intrigued. I saw the little note from Finger Lakes in TDN this morning. Agreement between the fund, the Breeder and Development Fund, Tracy Egan and Jeff Canizzo, and Finger Lakes, a 40-50% boost in the upper end, the maiden specials and the allowance level at Finger Lakes. And I think this is important, and it's increasingly, actually it's gotten increasingly important, because frankly, as the New York bred program has really burgeoned, and the quality level, when I say quality, particularly, you know, you got the very nice stallion program in New York, but the expensive New York breds, mares being sent to Kentucky and covered in Kentucky, they've made it hard. I got to tell you, I mean, as somebody, you know, who's got New York breds, it's tough. You're going up against, you know, really Kentucky stallion, Kentucky sire offspring that are foaled in New York. And so if the top end is improved at Finger Lakes, it really will give, I think, a chance for, you know, for the medium and the more modest budgeted New York operations. It'll give them really a nice target and a nice goal if you could go to Finger Lakes, and, you know, because the purses had been really meager. But this would be very attractive. First level allowance races in the $30,000 range. $31,860. Maidens, $31,270. Those are very respectable purses. So this is a nice boost for the Finger Lakes program. They're also talking seriously about putting a turf course in. So after some real uncertainty, you know, last year, Things look okay. I if you've never been, it's really pleasant. It's just a great little track. It's fun to go to Farmington. So if you're on your way to or from Buffalo, between Buffalo and Albany, plan on a Finger Lakes stop. Sid Fernando. Sid, have you been to Finger Lakes?
Yeah, I haven't. It's a great track.
Right, it's really pleasant. It's got a core group of players that hang out there. They're captained by Judge Bill Coker, who, when he's not on the bench, he's on a bench at Finger Lakes. one of our favorites from out by the Flakes. Sid, excited to get together today because the Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And we got our first real conversation for the three-year-olds of 2019. We had two winners that were really impressive. War of Will, coming out of the race at Churchill, where there was some question about the wet track and how does he translate it. And then when it comes to what we saw from Win-Win-Win, in the Pasco, a record-setting performance at 7/8, and a horse that, at least on paper, looks like he'll stretch out.
Yeah, it's early, but both, as Cornette, quite promising. War of Will, of course, is an absolutely tremendous pedigree by Warfront from the Sadler, as well as Mayor from the family of Best in Show. You know, he's got all sorts of really interesting credentials. Andrew Caulfield wrote a real nice column about him yesterday in TDN. For anybody interested in the pedigree, I suggest they go back and take a look at that. But the surprising thing with War of Will, of course, is he's a son of Warfront, who's just a tremendous stallion. Known, of course, made his reputation now as a sire of really turf milers in general, but in particularly in Europe, a sire of really top class 2-year-olds and sprinters on the turf.
You know, I talked to Cassie the other day. Let's flesh out War of Will and get a feel for, you know, for what they're dealing with here. And you know, it's funny because, you know, Mark himself acknowledged that, you know, there was, you know, every hope that he was a dirt horse and that they could take advantage of the opportunities that, you know, would come his way, but you know, for all intents and purposes, when you got a horse like this, you know, you start out on the grass, and they really picked the perfect time to find out about him at the end of last year.
And the interesting thing about this horse is it really paints an incredibly international picture. Not only, as I said, is Claiborne's Warfront a favorite among Europeans and an outstanding you know, mile or less type of stallion in Europe primarily, although he's had 10 furlong plus winners in Europe like Declaration of War. But this horse is bred by the European entity Flaxman Holdings, which is the Niarchos ownership, but Niarchos, Flaxman has a U.S. division that's overseen by Wayne Zend. It's called Oak Tree Farm, and this horse was bred in the United States. He was offered for sale by Wayne Zend at Keeneland, September, as a yearling, with 175, well, it was 175,000 RNA. So Flaxman, for some reason, obviously they raise homebreds. So they're not commercial breeders. They were looking to sell this colt. He was an RNA for 175 at Keeneland. So Oak Tree took him to Europe twice. They entered him in a breeze up sale, I believe, at Tattersall's, and he was taken out of that, a breeze up meaning a 2-year-old sale, and then he was put into the Arcana May 2-year-old or breeze up sale, and an American buyer, Justin Cassie, goes to Arcana and pays almost $300,000 for this colt, and then he's shipped back to the United States. Where he, you know, this horse was just beaten very narrowly in a turf G1 race in Canada to another war friend, Fog of War, Peter Brandt's horse. So, you know, it's a really international story. And then after this, the inclination, the correct one at the time, to put him on turf. I mean, let's face it, he is G1 placed on turf. They ran him on the on that track at Churchill, and then he won, and he was wheeled back here. and won this race real nicely. I have to tell you, last summer I spoke to Bernie Sands and Walker Hancock of Claiborne, and they were incredibly insistent last year when I spoke to them at Saratoga. Almost took offense when I said that Warfront is just a brilliant turf sire. They insisted he was also a dirt horse as well. He could get dirt horses. But unfortunately, you know, with so many good ones going to Europe, after his initial crops where he did have that good gelding for Claiborne on dirt, the Factor sold that on dirt. His reputation became turf, but they were insistent, Steve, that this horse can get very good dirt horses as well. They bred a lot of dirt mares to him in the coming years, so I think you're going to start to see a reshift, a paradigm shift from turf to dirt, too. And, you know, if this horse ends up becoming well-known as a dirt stallion as well, just like his own sire Danzig was. Danzig was known as a turf and dirt horse. You know, it takes him to an even higher level. And keep in mind, already Warfront at 250,000 stud fee this year is the most expensive stallion in North America.
And there's, I mean, there's everything for this horse to have been as successful at these distances up till now, for him to be this successful, I mean, everything says that a mile and an eighth and beyond is ideal. He's out of the Sadler Wells mare. The brother, I remember that brother of his, the AP Indy, Tacticus. Graham Motion. I don't know what, you know, I got to ask Graham what happened to this horse, because he won the Temperance Hill and the Birdstone, you know, which are both extended marathon type, you know, dirt races.
Right.
And then he disappeared. I don't recall it's been, that was back in 2015 that he won those races.
Yeah, he's probably in stud somewhere outside the country. This horse also is a half brother to, you know, Group One winner Path Fork in Europe. That horse is now in stud in South Africa. There's a lot of speed in the family. Of course, he's by Warfront, but he's out of a Sadler's Wells mare. There's a lot of speed early on. There's a lot of stamina further back. When I spoke, I'll tell you this. This is an interesting thought to keep in mind. You know, when I spoke to Aidan O'Brien in Ireland last year, he said, you know, the Warfronts are all speed. They're all speed, mile or less. You except, you know, an exceptional one like Declaration of War might stay 10 furlongs. But in general, the profile is speed. That's the profile in Europe. And I want to use the example of, say, Scat Daddy. For Scat Daddy, the profile in Europe was speed. Lady Aurelia, Caravaggio, the top sprinter over there. You know, there was a lot of speed-oriented profiles of Scat Daddy in Europe. But Scat Daddy in the United States and South America and the Americas had a different profile. If you look at the four Scat Daddies that are standing at stud in Kentucky, for example, Justify won as far as 12 furlongs, obviously, the Belmont Stakes. Mendelssohn was the mile and 3/16 winner. Grade one placed twice at 10 furlongs here. Daddy Long Legs was an 11 furlong winner and graded placed at 12 furlongs. And, that was Two Brutus. And Daddy Long Legs, also like Mendelssohn, mile and 3/16, grade two winner. So you see the profile of the Scat Daddies in one area, one geographic area, versus another. I think the same profile might apply to Warfront. I think in the case of Warfront in Europe, it's a heavy speed slant. The Warfront in North America on turf is a miler slant on turf. But what is the Warfront on dirt in the United States? That's really yet to be determined. And so far, as you pointed out, this horse looks like he's going to get 9 furlongs easy, you know. So it's an old dog can be not that he's an old stallion, but you know it's that thing there, or it could be a new trick.
Well, there's also I'm anxious for you to riff on the female family, because there's some things going on here that are really notable, and you know, some of it is kind of apocryphal, but between the Sadler's Wells mare on the you know, right up close, this Visions of Clarity that we're talking about, you go further back, the Fifth Dam, the name jumps off the page, Best in Show, and the Best in Show was put together with Sir Ivor to get the Fourth Dam Minnehawk, who got Aviance, who is also a major mare. But Best in Show is about as important a name in a female family as you're going to come across. The Dam of Blush with Pride, the Dam who's the Dam of Better Than Honor. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, and that's why when you get back to her, there's a lot of stamina that comes out of her too. Like I said, she's the second dam of the absolutely superb El Gran Señor, also by Northern Dancer. You know, this is one of the most important families in the stud book, internationally as well. And by the way, the top Japanese filly, Almond Eye, for example, who everybody talks about, who
won the Japan Cup.
Won the Japan Cup. You know, she's a daughter of the great Japanese sprinter, Lord Canaloa. But her Fourth Dam is Best in Show. Okay? And her Third Dam, Sex Appeal, produced El Gran Señor. It's exactly the same family. So you can see that even in that case, with Lord Canaloa, a top sprinter on the top, there was enough depth and stamina in the family for her to be a 12 furlong winner who's going to be eyeing the arc this year. Now, here's an interesting thing, and this is obviously such a huge international family that the influence is everywhere. One of the greatest stallions in Australia, Reduced Choice, like War of Will, is from the Danzig line of Northern Dancer. And Reduced Choice, of course, is son of Dane Hill. But if you look at his pedigree, Steve, you'll notice that, and of course, you know, what a great sire he is too, but you'll notice that his Fourth Dam is Best in Show. He himself, however, unlike Almond Dye or El Gran Señor, Dane Hill Danzig line, he was a top sprinter from his family. So this family gets, you know, just high-class racehorses. It depends on the way they're going to go. But when you look at the Danzig element added to this family, it tends towards speed. Because Reduced Choice is an example. And, of course, Warfront is a Danzig. And, it will meet. That's why I suggest people read Andrew Caulfield's article. Interesting, because he does mention the possibilities of going forward. But he also mentions the stamina element of the pedigree, as well as the speed that's also there. But what is uniformly there is high class performance.
Along these same lines with that family and the female side, and with Best in Show, Blush with Pride. Peeping Fawn is identically bred, which is, you know, Dane Hill, Son of right. Dancing, out of a Sadler's Wells mare, Mariinsky. It's the same exact pattern or War of Will.
Yeah, no, it is. And of course, with War of Will, there's so many. I think he's got three crosses. He's not only is he inbred very closely to the Northern Dancer 3x3, but there's another cross through too. So he's 3x3x5 to Northern Dancer. It would be interesting to find out why Flaxman decided to cut him loose, why he was only $175,000 RNA. Ties into that story today in the TDN by Chris McGrath, who's an excellent writer, talking about it's a column based on some tweets Lister of Ashu Farm had mentioned about he's had two first out winners recently who failed a vet, and so it's a big article about vetting and how frequently it seems, and Mark Taylor came on and added to it that some of their best horses they've sold were horses that quote unquote failed a vet. So it's, you know, it's interesting to see what happened with this colt. Of course, the famous example last year of a horse quote unquote failing the vet was Justified winning a Triple Crown. So food for thought and interesting discussion.
Let's turn our attention to Mrs. Weber's product and win. Here's a hat trick, son. And we don't. In my memory, Sid, I can't think of the last time we talked about hat trick when he last came up.
Yeah, he doesn't come up a lot. To tie him into the global thing, of course, he's a son of Sunday Silence. And the Sunday Silence explosion continues. Almond Dye, the filly we just talked about, is out of the Sunday Silence mare. We see the presence of Sunday Silence frequently here, usually on the female side of the as a broodmare sire. We saw it early with Taylor McCaddy, who's out of a Sunday Silence mare. But of course, Sunday Silence, as everyone knows, is a sire of Deep Impact, who has become a tremendously important international stallion. Everybody seems to go to him now. All the top guys go to him. Last year, Saxon Warrior, Coolmore, the 2000 Guineas winner, was a son of Deep Impact. The French Derby winner last year, Study of Man, for Flaxman, incidentally, was a son of Deep Impact. So the line is important, and you know, this horse has had some good horses here. This, as he pointed out, this pedigree for Live Oak, very strong pedigree. The second dam, isn't it? Yeah, Devotion Unbridled by Unbridled. She produced Unbridled Humor, a Distorted Humor Grade 3 winner. The third dam is Icy Warning by Caveat, sister to Hop Smile. You know, there's plenty of stamina here in this pedigree. Goes back to the Rye Hill Farm mare, and been bred for several generations now by Mrs. Weber Live Oak Plantation. And it's interesting, of course, that they would go to this horse hat trick. And he has had some success. So it's always interesting to look at these pedigrees.
He's win. He's a four-generation outcross. That's one of the benefits of going to these Sunday Silence sons.
Yeah.
You get the opportunity to introduce some freshness.
That point you made is becoming more and more prevalent, Steve, with stud farms and breeders. You know, you get people are not shy to go to horses that may not be by a big stallion, or might not be from a well-known sire line in this country. Uncle Mo, for example, was, of course, by a very good stallion, Indian Charlie. But when Breton Jones stood Indian Charlie, that line was not very well known here. And when you go to Uncle Mo, you're getting a lot of either outcross pedigrees or very distant in breeding. And this type of thinking continues because if you look at a horse like Candy Ride, for example, there's another comparison. He's Argentine bred, but he's from a stallion nobody knows here, you know. So, therefore, when John Secura stands a horse like Byron, Awfully Wild from the Wild Again sire line, again, not a household name as a sire of sires, but people are willing to take those chances now as long as there's performance and physicality. And it's a good thing, really. It expands the pedigree universe.
And when we get a chance, and we certainly will, we'll talk to Mrs. Weber along the way here, undoubtedly. And I talked to Trombetta the other day on air and off air this morning. He's gonna wait for the Tampa Bay Derby. He's gonna wait the 6 weeks for the Tampa Bay Derby with Win. After that effort, because that was a mammoth performance, even exceeding their expectations. Including Mike's. So
yeah,
he's going to give him plenty of time to recover from that. But this, what's interesting about this is it's a little bit of a little departure from Mrs. Weber's, you know, traditional kind of horse. I mean, she was consistently a King Mambo and Dynaformer. Is it fair to call her an addict? There was no King Mambo or Dynaformer she didn't like, and mm-hmm. that she would not pursue.
Right.
And she, you know, there's a lot, and you put that kind of those kinds of names in your broodmare band, you're gonna have stamina influence, undoubtedly. You know, this one you mentioned Caveat, Icy Warning. And Unbridled, mm-hmm. Devotion Unbridled, and it does feel it's still fairly early, but it does feel like Smarty Jones is going to end up making his mark as a broodmare sire than as a stallion of sons.
Oh yeah, no question about it. Because I mean, he's, you know, started off huge at stud, and when you don't kind of make it as a stallion. What happens with a horse like him, he would get to a ton of good mares. So you have the residual effect that these fillies from those big expensive crops are from extremely prolific black type families. And so they end up powering a horse to become a broodmare sire. And, you know, when you're analyzing something like this, you say, well, okay, say, for example, Smarty Jones for the first 6 years was bred to really, really good mares, right? What you want, and then after those 6 years, he was sent to the regional markets and the quality dropped off, say. So when you're looking at a Smarty Jones mare, you want to look up those first four, five, six, especially the first, second crops. Those are the mares you want to look for because they've got the big families built into them. You don't want to say, oh, wow, he's just a great broodmare sire. I'm going to take a mare of his from the eighth crop because suddenly there's a big drop off in the female line there. So part of the analysis when we do, say, if somebody's looking for a Smarty Jones mare or some, be careful at what point you enter the Smarty Jones pipeline.
Interesting.
Obviously, people, it's a technical aspect, a little inside baseball, but the gist of that is Smarty Jones is going to have, looks like he's doing well as broodmare sire, and he's going to be powered by those first few crops, for sure.
Interesting. That's interesting. And you know, just looking at the, you know, what's what I note about Miss Smarty Pants, you've got Mr. Prospector, Mr. Prospector, 4x4, and in the same position for both her dam, Devotion Unbridled, mm-hmm. and Smarty Jones, right?
Right.
Yeah. What,
yeah. The sire line cross.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's your and Sid? What's you know that. I know that it's come up, but I can't remember the last time we talked about it, about that element, about when you are going to do a little bit of inbreeding and having the stallion in question.
Sire to sire.
Yes.
The sire with the broodmare sire. Well, if
yes.
you look at War of Wolves pedigree, he's inbred to Northern Dancer 3x3 on the sire line cross.
There you go.
Yeah. I think it's more a matter really of how close the inbreeding is on the sire line cross. Now, War of Will happens to be 3x3 to Northern Dancer. Statistically speaking, we found in our internal research that if you start to get extremely close inbreeding on the sire line cross, you start to lose some effect in result. So we also look at generational distance. That is inbreeding generational distance. Of course, for people listening, what 3x3 means is that on the sire's side of the pedigree, say Northern Dancer, Pearson, take the foal, and three generations on the sire's side is Northern Dancer. On the dam side, Northern Dancer is also on the third generation, and therefore it's called a 3x3 cross. If Northern Dancer were on the fourth generation of, say, the dam side, and the third on the sire, it would be 3x4. It's very easy to figure out. Sometimes people ask me what that means. But what we found is, so you have 5x5 or 4x3, 3x4. Those are pretty unremarkable. They're fine in breeding. When you start to get 2x3, 3x2, even sometimes 3x3, you start to get into a territory where perhaps the effect is not going to be as important or as productive as you might want. And, of course, when you really get to, like, 2x3, 2x2, and extremely highly inbred situation, usually the results are not there. There's always exceptions, yeah. Of course.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm glad I just occurred to me to, because I know you've touched on that over the years. I just, it's been
yeah.
a while, I think, since it's come up. Well, let's look ahead, and let's do some handicapping ahead of Friday's opening day at Oaklawn. And we already had this big 13-horse gathering in New Orleans. We got a nice group coming forward that have got some appeal. And, you know, part of it coming out of the Remington, the Springboard Mile, and a lot of attention being paid to Bankit, particularly. And then we're personally kind of excited about the chances for Gray Attempt. We had Sean Bridgemahan yesterday as part of the the appreciation of evening attire. And everything says to me he's going to stretch out. We had that conversation with Jinx Fires the first week of the year. Some thoughts about this group, Sid?
Well, I think Gray Attempt should stretch out. He's a son of Graydar, an unbridled song horse. There shouldn't be anything in this horse's, you know, pedigree to suggest he won't. And of course, he's obviously got some of the biggest figures coming out. He's got a 2-for-3 record. Young horse looks like a promising horse. Bank It, of course, by a Central Banker, son of Spitestown. He's obviously an accomplished horse. New York bred, made a lot of his money in that area. He's been kind of ridden. I think it kind of changed his running style from his early days when he, looked like they'd send him to the front and then he'd get caught. Now he's being ridden from behind to kind of capitalize on that acceleration he has, and he's done real well. I think a horse to look out for in this particular race. He's a stallion. I think he's going to tends to come good with his 3-year-olds, and that's the Super Saver horse, Super Steed, 9-2 in the morning line. But I think he should be kind of looked at. He'll be stretching out, and that he really should get better at this distance. He's out of an elusive quality mare as well. Otherwise, you have the Springboard Mile winner by Take Charge Indy, who Windstar had the chance, the option to bring back from Korea. They had to sometime in mid-October to exercise their option to bring the horse back. They decided not to. Take Charge Indy, of course, had that that good colt last year on the Triple Crown Trail, and this horse, has every right to get better too as a Take Charge Indy. So it's an interesting group.
And this. It's funny that you zeroed in on Super Steed. DeHaskin was all over him going toward that Sugar Bowl, and I think a lot of people were kind of mystified by that performance. I got excited. I loved the way Gray Attempt finished, and Bridge Mahan yesterday said he thinks he can sit outside a little bit if somebody wants to go. He doesn't need the lead, he doesn't think. The horse outside of him, that Jack Van Berg, was very impressive. Breeders' Cup day, and when he broke his maiden at a big price, paid $30. And you bring up Take Charge Indy being out of the country, and of course Donner and Serve exported as well. So there's your likely exacta.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right, the exported the stallion export.
Export.
I love it. Well, the New York bred Bankit, I know, got a lot of attention in this. At least on the, I was surprised to see him listed on. I printed out this morning the quick sheet that I use, with all the morning lines and everything. And he was, I guess, a consensus pick because he's listed as the best bet at the top of the quick sheet page, which I was kind of surprised that he would be that overwhelming. I haven't looked at, I guess, Mary Rampolini, and I don't know who else makes the picks.
He's got some big ownership behind him, obviously, and trained by Asmussen. So last race was pretty, that last style, of course, the way he's being ridden now and finishing kind of gave
them
some new life.
It's funny when you mention the ownership. It's always fun at Oaklawn. One of the real appealing elements of the racing there is the local population of horsemen and owners, and it caught my attention, you know, immediately as I, because I printed the whole card out actually, and you know, right away, and those races that we have to talk about too. Let me stop there for a minute. I pointed out those two sisters, the two sisters of Munnings, Perfect La Comité and Soul of Comité, having the babies in those two divisions of maiden races, the fourth and the sixth.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, both from the Munnings family, and the one by Spikestown, the sire of Munnings, and the other one by Tail of the Caddy. And as I pointed out to you, the mare has a Spikestown. Yearling now.
Those are both good races, the fourth and the sixth, and it looks like Brad Cox has got a serious player in here making a second start, Irish Mischief for 10 Strike, and Michael Pietrangelo. And this is an Into Mischief filly out of A Song on the Prayer mare, Clarkland Farm bred. This is a fun group. You've also got that Palace Princess, Danny Pites. This is a hard-spun, a homebred for Bob and Luana Lowe. And that dam, Arienza was a nice, she got hurt, I think, as a three-year-old. But Pites trained Arienza. She was a stake. Something like the Fantasy, or you know, she was a nice. That name caught my attention, and I'm sure winning for the Lowe's on opening day at Oaklawn, Danny would like to do that. Whenever you look at these Oaklawn cards, there's never a shortage of the local, you know, the local owners, and
yeah, I mean that's a fun track too. Speaking of how we started the conversation, that's a really fun track to visit.
The Lieblongs, and you know, there's also a horse I'll point out. There's a first level allowance for fillies going 5.5, and there's an undefeated horse that Jason Service had for Gary and Mary West. You'll recall from last year, the 2-year-old Flashy Doll. This was an early winner for New Year's Day, and she's been transferred to Joe Sharp, and shows up in this spot.
What race is that?
That's the seventh.
Yeah, I think I've seen her. That was
well. You're involved too. You've got Dallas has got Beautiful Tail.
Yeah,
in there. Yeah, this is pretty
is the seventh race.
Seventh race, first level allowance going just 5.5, but this is
involved in the Flashy Doll too.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, Gary and Mary. That's right. The Wests. That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's probably undefeated.
I know. There's a lot going on in here. There's also that Istan filly that Brary Jones has that had the big win at Keeneland. Istan Council. 85 buyer when she broke her maiden. So this looks like it's a good listen. It's Oaklawn. They're giving away real money. It's everybody looks forward to this. I mean, Oaklawn is really what's gone on there. And of course, the first full season under the Suns, under the Sella Suns. A lot of good things happening again at Oaklawn. Well, Sid, this was as always informative.
Pleasure, Steve.
Next week we'll have some Eclipse Award decisions to mull over. See if things any shockers, any upsets, or whether it goes somewhat to form. But we'll also look at this race and what's coming up. Let me see. Week ahead.
Well,
we've
got the big racing coming up this weekend.
Yeah, did you get a chance to look at this Gulfstream card?
I haven't thoroughly gone through it, but I did take a look at the two big races. Catapult is a horse you got to like.
For Sadler. Well, listen, if he wins the turf race, accelerate Drew well, and he seems well positioned. It just feels like Accelerate is in that same catbird seat that Gun Runner and Arrogate were in.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to Bill Farish yesterday, and I told him that it looks like he's got the race in terms, for Stallions, City of Light, and Accelerate. City of Light did beat this horse at this distance.
That's true.
And with this track playing fast, I don't know. Maybe City of Light is the horse.
Well, he there was a moment of truth, obviously, as we were listening in yesterday, and there was the 3 and the 12 remaining for City of Light and for Pattern Recognition. And, mm-hmm. I mean, that I really kind of bristled, Sid. I mean, you're going to pay for the privilege of basically having your chances eliminated by the draw? It's just... I don't get it. It just doesn't seem fair.
Mm-hmm.
If it was
a pre-draw conversation. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? But City of Light. I made the point you can't do this, but it would have been nice if you could have put Bravazo and Gunavera, who were going to drop out of it, if they had ended up with the 11 and 12.
Right.
At least they're not compromised. I mean, because mm-hmm. they were going to be 8th and 9th or 10th and 11th, into the turn anyway. So what are you going to do? Well, it's going to be interesting. And tomorrow night will be interesting as well with the Eclipse Awards. Meanwhile, for those...
Will you be there?
No. We got February, March, and April of and May of travel. I did not.
I understand that.
Yeah, it's just enough. I mean, there's only mm-hmm. Plus, the chances are I would have already left before that snowstorm, and that's all I would have needed was to have left before another big snowstorm. Tina would.
Yeah.
Every time I leave, Sid, we get 16 inches of snow. So if I had been gone, she'd have she would not have been happy.
No.
There's still plenty of opportunity though for that. Well, as the foals drop, the babies are starting to come with regularity now here in week 3 of the new year, and interesting. We'll have to get some opinions from you as you see some babies, some new sires, and see what babies you're impressed with as the weeks roll mm-hmm. on. And of course, for those of you that are now going to be in position to make your final decisions, Work Thoroughbred Consultants, 510-490-1111, 510-490-1111. Get in touch with Sid, and you can plan for matings and any not last minute decisions yet, because the breeding season won't start till mid-February, but be in position. Don't wait till the last minute. Sid, thanks so much, Steve. As always. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Sid Fernando. And you follow Sid, and you follow Sire Watch as well on Twitter, and Hill and Dale while you're at it. We'll take a break. Coming up toward the top of the hour, Ian Wilkes is going to join us. We'll get a couple of thoughts from Ian on Multibella and her win in the Gasparilla, and quite a few things coming up for Ian this weekend and in the weeks to come. So I'll get our first visit of the new year in. Seth Merrow is going to join us, of course, as well. And we missed Seth last week, so be prepared for him to still be gloating over Syracuse's win against Duke. Back after this, Ian Wilkes.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.